Romans 7.
I'm going to ask Pastor Scott to open us in prayer.
Father, we thank you today for your word, for the salvation that you've given to us, the work that was done on the cross at Calvary, and the simple fact that we can work this essential life. We pray for all the prayer offerings that were offered up this morning, that your will be done in all of our lives. We pray as we study your word at the church again. Not only upon our lives, but we learn things to share with others as the door of our hearts is open. We pray for that spirit of boldness to come upon us, to boldly proclaim this gospel to us all.
Amen. Today we're back in the book of Romans, and we're going to talk about some things that we see here in the book of Romans as it pertains to our experience. And I'll try to use the term experience now, because when we look at our salvation, we're looking at it from a vantage point of our position in Christ. And I'm going to put practice. But actually, I'm going to subtitle that experience. Romans, the 7th chapter and the 22nd verse, we're going to start at. Romans 7:22, we'll read the verse 25. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Let's read. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. The Apostle Paul, we talked about this passage quite a bit, and this passage is dear to me because I've been the first time I actually looked at this passage, it gave me a glimmer of hope that what religion was teaching was possibly not true in the areas that it caused me to have discouragement. Sometimes you've gone to churches or attended churches in the past, and what they taught you, it gave you hope on one side, but it discouraged you on the other side, because they would save you by grace, so to speak. They'd tell you that it was just a cross, but they tell you you couldn't stay saved unless you lived good enough to stay saved. If you did enough, if you performed well enough, and if you stayed away from certain things, and if you did all of that, the cross saved you and you would stay saved, but if you fell back into some of that, you'd have to get re-saved or recommitted or re-get your fellowship back. So when I looked at Romans, the 7th chapter, it really frees us from that mindset that religiosity has on us, because of what it talks about in Romans, the 7th chapter, in the 5th verse. It says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So now we gain hope because we understand that God has transitioned us from a realm of the flesh into the realm of what? The Spirit. Amen. And this is something that we really have to hold on to, because there's a lot of individuals that study the Bible and don't understand that God has completed a complete work as it pertains to transitioning us from the old Adam into Christ. And a lot of people still see themselves in Adam as it pertains to who you are spiritually before God. But we understand that we are now in the body of Christ, and we are in Anthony, and we are in Christ. For this is what it stops here in verse 22 of Romans, the 7th chapter. And now we're looking at terms. And these are things we want to really start to make a note of, because these things are what describe us. The Word of God is letting you know who you are as it pertains to how God is viewing you. And the words and the terminology is important for us to grasp so that we can understand how to express ourselves to the world based on what God is saying about us and not what we look like externally. Verse 22 says, for I delight in the law of God after what? The inward man. Now this is a phrase here or a term that's being used
That is something totally new. This is the only person that's ever talked and brought this up is the Apostle Paul. This is a brand new dynamic. No other gospel writer, no other prophet in the Old Testament, no one has ever used this terminology as it pertains to one's condition. This is true about you and I because of what God has accomplished for us in Christ. The Bible lets us know that the inward man is now quickened. He's made alive, and he's been placed into the body of Christ. And he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This is how we know that when Paul writes this, he's saved. Does an unsaved individual delight in the law of God?
No.
No? You have any verses or any scriptural evidence for that? So I mean, it's easy to say yes or no, but you have to really understand what you're saying. See, when we come together, we don't come together so much just to hear somebody give a monologue. You have to really understand why we're saying what we're saying in order for us to go to the next phase. The inward man is someone who delights in the law of God because he's been quickened by the Spirit of God. Now he wants to do the things of God. But the man that's ungenerated and unsaved, Romans 8 chapter talks about, he says he has a carnal mind. Because the carnal mind is an enmity how? Against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. You see it right there in Romans 8 chapter 7th verse? Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Why can't it be?
Because the law is spiritual.
Because the law is spiritual. And it is
carnal.
So you see those, they contrast each other. This is why we have to understand that there's something that God has done on our behalf that has transitioned us out of our carnality. And that's what Romans, the 7th chapter in the 5th verse is letting us know. I'll read that again because this is a verse that is somewhat overlooked in Christendom quite a bit. For when we were in the flesh, that's that carnal mind, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members, the flesh again, to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So what we want to bring out here is the fact that this inward man is this new expression that God is using as it pertains to you and I. Because of what has happened in Christ Jesus, the moment we trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Because now we're going to start attaching different, using the Word of God and going line upon line, precept upon precept. And when we do that today when we study the Bible, what's the additional thing we have to do? Rightly divide the word of truth. So it's not just enough to say line upon line and precept upon precept if you're not rightly dividing the word of truth. So what we do, we line upon line, precept upon precept, as we rightly divide the word of truth. So now look at this. We're talking about 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 4th verse. Look what it says here. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, we're going to compare some things here. Because we know that this inward man is directly connected with the mind. Turn back to Romans 7. We want to just, Romans 7 chapter, because we're going to bring this in. I may have went to that verse prematurely because I wanted to bring in verse 23 here. Romans 7:23. Look what it says here. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is where? In my members. I want you to be able to actually understand this particular text. testimony that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to. He's saying that there's a contrast that he sees between his members and his what? Mind. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. There's a war that's being engaged between his members and his mind. Does an unsaved person have this situation going on?
No.
Absolutely not. This is something that is unique to our condition. This I saw a message a few months ago talking about living in the body of Adam. In the body of Adam while living in the body of Christ. And it shows you the contrast between still being in this physical body, but being looked at before God as being in the body of Christ. In the contrast, in the conflict that's always going to be upon you because of who you are in Christ. So it goes on, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and doing what? Bring me to captivity to the law of... Amen. This is important. This is where Paul... battle when his mind was taking him, where it was bringing him into captivity to the law of sin, which was in his members, until he really came to the fullness of understanding, as he shows at the completeness of this at this particular verse. So you see that this inward man that we're making a reference to, which is directly associated with this new mindset that we have because of who we are in Christ. Everybody there? It's at a struggle between your old nature, your old man, in this new mindset that we have because of what we place, because of what God has accomplished for us in Jesus Christ. And now we are in the spirit realm. This is where it is. And the spirit realm is in our mind. Let's look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 23rd verse. Ephesians 4, 23. Very simple verse. It says, and be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. This is what God beseeches us to do here. He wants us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And this is what you have to also know, that this is tying it in, that this is the spirit. This is where God actually is dealing with us at now. You know, once an individual gets saved, and this is why I'm trying to make this so prevalent, because we really want to see what is taking place in the life of a believer. The moment a person trusts in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, what's the mindset that he still pretty much is basing all of his conduct on?
The old nature.
Amen. He's still basing it on the old nature. It's still the mindset that the conformity of the world has placed on him. He's just become saved. He's just trusted the gospel. He just received the spirit to investigate spiritual things and compare spiritual things with spiritual things so that he can be transformed by the renewing of his mind. So the moment that he becomes saved, his mind is still pretty much conformed to the world. And a lot of us, we have to understand that, because this is the condition and state that believers have. And if they are not in a position where they're being, that they can learn and be transformed by the renewing of their mind, can come together and fellowship in the Word and grow in rightly dividing the Word of truth, they will be saved, but they won't grow in the maturity that God would be useful in their life, that they can actually be useful on the behalf of God. And this is what we find quite a bit in Christianity. People would become saved, but if they don't begin to renew their mind, they won't really be effectual in what they can do for God. You ever realize that? That's why we don't judge people. We really try to encourage individuals to study, and you try to give people little nuggets in order to cause them to grow to a higher understanding of what God has accomplished for them, so that they'll know who they are in Christ, and they can share that that information. But oftentimes, that's exactly where they will stay at, and they'll stay right there. But this is something that happens in the spirit of our mind. This is why when we look at Romans 12 and 2, let's go back to Romans. All of these things tie together.
I know I'm going to need some of this, so I need this space.
Romans 12 and 2 is a very familiar text, but it lines up with exactly what we're talking about today. We just actually quoted it. Romans 12, 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, this is the case that goes on. The individual becomes saved, but he has the conformity of the world on him. God wants them to be renewed. How? The renewing of his mind. This is what God would have. He has the conformity of the world. And this is what the Bible lets us know. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For what purpose?
To prove what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Amen. Now, this is important. This is how we do this here. When you understand that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and so that we may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, this is where our practical walk or our experience comes in at, in that proving. It's something to understand it, but it's something else to live it out. And a lot of times what we do, we gather information, we transform the mind, but if we don't prove it, knowledge does what? It puffeth up. And we'll find that this happens quite a bit when we're not willing or have the ability to go out. If you understand that God loves you, that God committed his love towards you, and because he loves you, what does he want you to do with that love?
Share.
How do you do it? Right. So now, I understand that God loves me. So now that I've experienced that love that God has, because the word of God is shed abroad in my heart, it begins to unfold all the dynamics of what grace of God has done for me, and I'm experiencing that love of God, God wants me now to take this experience that I'm having and begin to demonstrate it to everybody else. See, I'm not demonstrating my love. I'm demonstrating the renewed mind, how I'm receiving the love from God based upon the doctrine, and now I want to demonstrate the love to other individuals. That's when I am proving it. We'll use another area of scripture. Turn to Ephesians. We just want to get Ephesians very briefly. Now listen, we talk about this quite a bit, but I just want to see if you understand how this works. Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 32nd verse. In fact, yeah, we'll use 32, but we can see that all of that here scripture is actually talking about what we're talking about here. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted," doing what? "Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has what? Forgiven you." So now, this is what I'm doing. This is pretty much what I'm trying to share here today. The conformity of the world gave me a basis to forgive individuals on. And yours may have came a lot of different ways just when I was in the world. Before I became saved, there were some things established in me that taught me how to forgive people. Or maybe it didn't. But whatever it was, it contrasts to the doctrine that I just read in Ephesians 4. Is that 32? See, Ephesians 32, this is just one very small segment. But in order to give us an idea and the ability to see this, I want to just use this very small aspect so that we can understand what happened here. Before you were saved, what would be some of the reasons you would forgive somebody? Okay, they forgive you, so you're good with me, so now I'm good with you. That type of thing. What's another reason?
Satan.
So, and that's another, and a lot of people say that. I can't really get past this issue unless I'm going to forgive them so that I can move on with my life. You ever had that type of thing? You know, and in fact, I believe somebody wrote a book and they were on Oprah. It was a bestseller. I think Yala Van Zandt talked about forgiveness. And you can't really, unless you purge yourself of that bitterness that you have to forgive and let it go. That type of attitude towards forgiveness. Anybody's parents just told them that it was good to forgive people? You know, for your parents. So now, see, all of these things are things that the conformity of the world puts on you. Now, I want to show you something here. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:4 again. I'm going to show you how that happened. And we thought it was so subtle. 2 Corinthians 4:4, I think we read it. That's why I said I read it a little premature. Second Corinthians 4:4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of what? Did you know this world had a God? Big G or little G?
Little G,
okay. See, there's a God of this world that is responsible for all propaganda, all conformity, all mindsets. Look what he goes on to say. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which do what? Where the believe not is on this side. See, the God of this world is in control of each and every individual that has not yet trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he's blinding the mind. They think they're doing things based on good stuff. They have over here what they perceive to be good and evil. Did you realize that? Did you think it was a good thing that you forgave somebody before you got saved? That was a good thing, right? I'm forgiving. The Bible wants me to forgive. I'm accomplishing what the Bible wants me to do. I'm forgiving you, right? Look at some of the bases. One said to move on. I think you said also to move on, right? My parents taught me that. The Oprah show taught me that. And it's right. And I'm going to put this right here. Religion taught me that. There's religions that teach that. In fact, the improper administration of the scriptures, religion teach you this. You know what I'm talking about there? I can go in this Bible and teach you out of this Bible that you have to forgive somebody in order for God to forgive you. Do you realize I can find that in here? There's individuals that's using the Bible deceitfully that'll tell you if you want forgiveness from God, you need to forgive somebody in order for God to forgive you. Is it the proper usage of the scriptures? So now we see that there's a lot of different variables on why you won't forgive or why you will forgive somebody. So now, just because you forgive or not forgive doesn't make you right with God. What makes you right with God is the moment that you trust in the gospel, you be not conformed. So you're sitting here. You're happy now because you're over here. But you still have this mindset over here that has been played by the God of this world. And you're still forgiving people. Now you're in church, and so you're probably forgiving people based upon Matthew. Or based upon the old information that you received, because you figure that is the Bible, right? So you just went somewhere and somebody told you that if you believe that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, you'll be saved. You believe it, you trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and all the different things, the dynamics of that, but you still haven't went in the Bible. Nobody, you're not going to a church that teaches sound doctrine, so you think if my forgiveness is still based out of the Bible, which this is based on the Bible, I don't have to curtail or change my attitude as it pertains to forgiveness. I've got that covered. Or in fact, I might not even understand Matthew. I just know that somebody told me, it's been working for me all my life, that if I can just forgive and let that go, I can move on with my life, and I just feel so much better about that. You understand that? We have that type of attitude. I'm doing, and God is pleased with me because ultimately, I'm forgiving people. We see what we're doing here? Is that given out of the God? It's not until you run across sound doctrine. Ephesians 4:32. That's what we just read. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, this is supposed to do something dynamic to you. Look at the details of what transpires here. Now, I'm in this place that I believe the gospel, but now one day I'm up under some teaching of a doctrine, and the doctrine just happens to be how I deal with forgiveness, or what should I do as it pertains to forgiveness. The doctrine, why is it so important that the word of God influenced me in this area? What's significant about the word of God? What does it produce? Faith. And without faith, it's impossible. So if I want to be pleasing to God in my practice and in my experience, I have to now be not conformed to, but be. So now this is where we stand. This is belief. This is our situation. And I'm just talking about forgiveness. But there's a lot of different areas of your life you need to check. This is a very simple one to express. So now I'm sitting here, I'm a new believer, and I want to know what should I do as it pertains to forgiveness that God can get the glory. And now it's no longer me, but it's Christ that's coming out of me. We have to get the difference here. It's no longer us. And this life that we now live, we live it by the faith of the Son of God. Ephesians 4:32 is the faith of the Son of God. It's not what you would do. It's what God is doing through you in the person of His Son. We have to get this. If we want to walk in the newness of the Spirit, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we have to get in the Word of God, study the Word of God, rightly divide the Word of truth, let spiritual things compare with spiritual things, and transform our old conformity of the world mindset. So, Ephesians 4:32 tells me, be kind one to another. So now my extension to why I'm kind to you is not because my parents raised me to be kind to individuals. I thank God for my parents. And it was nice, it was good that they asked me to be kind to everybody. But the fact of the matter is, when I do it based upon what my parents taught me, guess who's not getting the glory? Guess who's not living through me? Christ. Christ is not the... But when I do it based upon the doctrine transforming my mind, now we're getting the glory. Guess who's living through me? So now we see. Now look at this. Be ye not conformed... and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. My extension to you is tender-hearted. That's my extension to you. Kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another. On what basis am I to forgive you, according to this verse? What's the basis? What's the basis of me forgiving you today?
As
Christ has forgiven me for God's sake. So now it's no longer because I want to just move on. It's no longer because my parents taught me that. It's no longer because I watched Oprah and I learned most of my life lessons from Oprah. It's no longer because the old mindset of religion that was placed upon me. It's because I've no longer conformed to this world as it pertains to forgiveness, but I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. Now I'm proving that good and acceptable and perfect will of God as it pertains to the topic of what? Forgiveness. Do you see that? That's how we actually prove or demonstrate to this world how Christ is to live in us and through us. That's why Galatians 2 and 20 is so important. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. Ephesians 4:32 is the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We make the transition or the transformation based upon the renewing of the mind. This is why we come together to train and transform our mind and renew our mind based upon what the doctrine says. Because it's not about how it looks. We can have two individuals standing next to each other as it pertains to forgiveness, and one person, and both of them forgive the person, and from the outside, you wouldn't know which one did it unto God, because both of them forgave the person. You could have two people, and I'm using these for time sake, because you know we're having a short service today. For time sake, I'm using these topics that I've talked about before. You can have two individuals that stand up in the room and as it pertains to stealing, and something is there, and both individuals don't steal something that was left out. One of them giving glory to God by not stealing it, and the other one not giving God the glory by not stealing it. Both of them externally seeming to do the right thing. You understand what I'm saying? But the basis for the one not stealing. Give me some reasons why before you were saved you wouldn't steal.
You don't
want
to get caught.
That's one thing. I don't want the punishment. I don't want to get caught. Because if I get caught, woo-hoo. My mother don't play. My grandmother don't play that. If I get caught stealing, they bring me home and I done stole something. I don't want to get caught. So that's one motivation. What's another motivation?
Conscience.
That's a great one there. I still
can't live with myself if I steal. I just don't like it. Boy, I need it, but I'm not going to do it.
My conscience just won't let me. Ooh.
I'm going to hold that. You know, that conscience bear, that conscience will wear you out. That's what, you know. Been with us since the fall.
What's another reason you won't steal?
I'd like to have that.
Huh?
I'd like to have that.
That's why you wouldn't steal?
No, I steal it because
I have it. Okay, well, let's put that in there. You might steal it because you want it. Lust.
Lust in the eye. In fact, I could, though.
What else?
You're teasing the joint down so you can build up trust and build and steal something bigger and
better. Hey, I'm going to put that on there. I mean, that's deceitfully. You're not stealing because you're setting them up for the big one. You know? The setup. Okay. We'll put that on there because, see, this is how this old man thinks. He wants to get your confidence and your trust. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll take that in for you. I'll carry your purse, you know, and whatever. Because I'm coming back when you guys go out of town and clear you out. So I'm going to carry your groceries in. I'll sit with your dog, whatever. But when you leave, Believe me, that flat screen right there, that's like, you know. So there's a lot of different reasons that we do what we do as it pertains to the old man, and he'll get the same result.
I learned that from TV, not from personal.
Okay. So there's, when we look at these things, we see that there's a lot of different reasons that the same result comes out. That's why we don't judge externally, because we don't know why you're not doing what you're doing. We don't know if that's giving God the glory that you're not a thief. I'm glad you're not a thief, because it allows us to live peaceably on this earth while we are together. We're glad that the Spirit of God is still conforming in even individuals that are not saved, not to just live haphazardly. So there is some conformity there. But then on the other hand, we want God to get the glory out of everybody and everyone. So there's situations that's going on externally that you won't know the difference between a saved person and an unsaved person as it pertains to this topic of stealing. Now, I'm not going to find verse. I'm going to ask you to find the verse. How should I conduct myself as it pertains to stealing, where Christ can get the glory out of my life, God can get the glory out of my life, rather, and Christ be living through me? You got it?
Ephesians 4:28.
Amen. What is that?
Let him that gold steal no more, but let him leather, but rather let him labor, working with his own hand, that thing which is good, and that he may give unto him that needeth.
Amen. So now we have found the word of God that can cause us not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind as it pertains to. Now, we already talked about forgiveness. But now we're talking about stealing. And now we don't have to conduct ourselves on forgiveness because we found the word of God that pertains to that. Now, 4:28.
Yeah.
Now, as it pertains to stealing, I don't have to conduct myself in this manner anymore because I found the word of God that will that will renew my mind and cause me to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in my practical experience now. See, I'm positionally saved. That doesn't change. But I'm living out my position through my practice by proving what the Word of God is going to say to us. So now, as it pertains to stealing, let him that stole steal no more, but work with his hand. And it gives you another thing that you do on top of not stealing. It tells you to do what? It implores you to do what? Get a job. That would help, right? It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather, it's giving you some information, labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may do what? Have to give him the need. Don't you understand that's what grace is? We use this liberty that we have in Christ not for our selfish purposes, but by love we do what? Serve one another. That's the basis on what grace is all about. So when it tells you, when it makes a contract behind why we don't steal under the law or in fine print, grace is going to say, not only shouldn't you steal, but you should position yourself where you can help somebody. Instead of taking from them, you should be in a position where you're giving to somebody. And now if we're doing it that way, guess who's living out of it?
Christ.
It's no longer I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. This is where it is right here. This is what makes the difference in your life. This is when God views you and looks down at you, he can see Christ living out of you, the hope of glory. Because when you continue to conduct yourself, and listen, you can be saved, but still conduct yourself based on all these principles. And if you're not studying the Word of God rightly divided, guess what? You're saved because you believe the gospel, but there won't be any fruits in your life that really show that. Or, that God will be getting any glory out of, because you haven't made that transformation. You haven't renewed the mind. So this is what we wanted to share today. I'll just bring another couple of verses. Like I say, we're just going to be a little short today. But bring this verse in as well. I believe Ephesians 2 and 2. Ephesians 2 and 2.
wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which now worketh how? Worketh where? In the children of disobedience. See, this here, prince of the power of the air. Do you understand that until you come to a place where you receive the finishment, when you accept the fact that Christ died for your sins, and now the Spirit of God comes in you, and you can take this Word of God and begin to compare spiritual things with spiritual things, and allow your mind to be transformed, that's when the transformation starts, once you trust God. Until you get to that place, you are under the influence of the God of this world and the prince of the power of the air. Let me share something with you about the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air has many different values and interests. He can have one topic, he can look at one topic and have two different views on the same topic. Let me share with you about this. When Christians today get into politics, they have to be very, very careful. Some of those therapies. You understand? We need to be very, very careful when we get into politics. When you look at stations, now these are two stations. I'm gonna just do this. If we were going two stations that were countering to each other as it pertains to politics, I'm gonna put the one up and then you just tell me the other one, okay? You can get to know any issue they're going to have a view on it and they're going to have a view on it. You know that ISIS, this is big in the news right now. See that? Anybody know that? So now if you want to really get your time caught up, and you can try to establish opinion on ISIS, guess what? Even though the basis of why all that foolishness is going on over there, you understand the heart of men in the scriptures,
yeah.
I guarantee you don't know enough about the situation to make a valid opinion on it. But guess where you get your information in mostly? Guess what? If you want to know something about what's going on, it's this. Because you're living your life daily. You're working, you got children, and even if you study magazines and all that, if the magazines aren't the Word of God, the magazines are based upon. All those articles of literature, they're based upon this guy. Propaganda. He wants to fill your head with information so that you'll have one strong view one way or the other. But guess what your view won't be? I've seen an information. Okay. There's issues that happen every day. I'm not talking about Joe Ferguson, the ex-Buffalo Bills quarterback. Ferguson, Missouri. Automatically, there are some things that, because you've been indoctrinated by television or news, soon as those, I don't even have to say anything else, because the prince of the power of the air has infiltrated, and this is a big issue, now you have to form an opinion on it. And I guarantee you that most of your opinion, one way or the other, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, it takes you back here. You have to be careful how you're dealing with things today. Man, the things that aggravate you and irritate you, and your irritation and aggravation to bring you right back to your mindset that's here.
Yeah.
Everything that you see and deal with has to be based upon the renewed mind. Because what's going to come out of your mouth has to represent Christ.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, you're going to talk out of your mouth right here. It happened to me yesterday. I'm going to just be honest with you. It happened to me yesterday. There's a football player called Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
he spanked his child, whooped her with a whooped him or her with a switch off the tree. I have an opinion about getting whooping with switches. That's based upon this guy. I've had whippings with switches. So because we have and we got the fire dealing with it, we have a view automatically when we see the article come up on the news. And now watch this. I want you to show this. Who am I talking about here? Everybody know? Adrian Peterson. If I wrote this 10 years ago, who would I have been talking about? Scott, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do you know that? How do you see that? Because when it hits the airwaves, the place of the power of the air already has you programmed in position on where you're going to put your, you know, you're going to put your understanding to. So now it automatically clicks, and you automatically begin to develop some counteractive understanding or position on the matter. The only thing I want to talk about is what my renewed mind. And if I don't have a renewed mind understanding on the topic, I'm not going to be amongst my friends sharing a lot of my information or what I think about it. Because before I knew it, that was wrong with the world today. People need to spank their kids. They need to. It's deeper than that. You know what I mean? I'm all right. I got a whooping with a switch. I'm okay. What's wrong with me?
Some people
would
make you like,
hey, you're
whooping with switches and
braces. What's wrong with me? I'm okay. My grandmother whooped me with a switch. What's wrong? Grandma.
Yeah. Now, I didn't mean to put you on the corner of the world side, Grandma, but
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But see, that's not what the renewed mind. So we have to check ourselves. If you are not prepared and have the ability to address something based upon your renewed mind, it's probably better that you don't say anything at all. If you want to represent Christ. If you want to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I could have went on for hours with this message, but you know time has to be cut short today based upon our meeting. But I hope and pray that what I was trying to express to you, you know, you can run further with it because it's just a good basis of what we can actually go from there. But it gives you the understanding of how the conformity of the world is set up, who's responsible for the conformity of the world, and how you have to safeguard yourself against it, and what's the only answer to it?
The Word.
The Word of God. Amen. Amen. Any questions or comments? Go ahead, bro.
Okay, when we're talking about be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the very next verse tells you that how you do this, and it says that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. You turn to Romans 13:14, it tells you that put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your new man is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Your one in Christ Jesus, what that Jesus. That's the mystery over here.
Mm-hmm.
That we're made one with God Himself. And then you got in Romans, Mark 2:7, it says, who can forgive sin but God alone?
Mm-hmm.
Only God can forgive sin. So now you're renewing your mind and realizing, I couldn't do it before, but I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
I can forgive that person now.
That's right.
Why? Because God's doing it, not me.
Amen.
You're dead, your life is in Christ, and now I can do what I couldn't do before. Because I'm completely in Christ.
Amen. Absolutely. And that makes all the difference. For man is impossible, but God, all things are possible. And that's what gives you the ability to do it. With Christ. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, don't laugh. By the renewing of my mind, how do I handle? I express. How should.
And that's just the point. Now, look at what ISIS is as it pertains to who you are as a member of the body of Christ. Is there, what's the spiritual relevance of who you are in Christ? How does it attach itself to this incident that's going on overseas? It'll present itself to you when people come to you with the conversation. or unless you want to promote the conversation when you get amongst people, because this only has power when you're amongst people that's talking about it. So what do you think about this ISIS thing?
Nothing.
You see? Why did you handle it like that? Because right now, right now, the world is really, and right now that
has nothing to do with me.
I don't have anything to do with that. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Now, somebody has the idea that everything that goes on this world affects everybody. So now it depends on where your mindset is as it pertains to the scriptures. If I ask you, what do you think about ISIS? What are you going to say? That's not political. What you're saying is not political. You're saying, I guess you're saying the brutal acts that they did. So to say that's brutal was just the same. Okay. You're not getting deep. You're just saying that's brutal that they cut the guy's head off. You know, that's brutal. You know, but there's politics behind the whole incident.
Yeah.
Because the government is actually getting involved based upon the political aspect of it. How deep do you want to go in conversation with you? How deep can your spirituality get engaged in the conversation?
That was another thing. It kind of wasn't letting me, because it was presented for me. And it wasn't, like, it really, like, I had nothing.
And that's really what, how much of it will, you have, whatever you say in word or in deed, let it all be done how? Whatever you do in word and deed, let it be done. In the name of who? In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever we do in word of day, do all of it in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Why are we doing everything that we do? Why are we saying everything we do in word of deed? Why is it in the name of Jesus Christ? You know that's in the Bible? So for people like, let's go to Colossians. Colossians 3:17. Huh?
We get involved in that, we'll be bombing them in the name of Jesus Christ.
I'm not. It's not us.
We're doing that,
the government does. The body of Christ and the government is two totally different things.
No, that's what their reasoning is, because they're doing it for ours.
Right. See, it's not a spiritual war, and that's what a lot of people want to bring in. It's not, see, and whatsoever, Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Why do we do everything that we do in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus?
Because it produces thankfulness in our lives.
It should produce. But why do you and I? Why would we do everything that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus? That's part of it, because we are dead, and our life is His in Christ. We no longer are an issue. Everything that we're trying to do, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I can't do nothing in my own name because I'm dead. So everything I do in word and deed, I have to do it in Jesus' name. And if it's something that pertains to anything, how do I attach it to who I am in Christ? And if I can't attach it to who I am in Christ, I have to stay silent on that matter. But if I find a way to develop who I am in Christ and bring in something that will enlighten them to who I am in Christ and possibly say something, then I might want to say something about it. But if it has nothing to do with giving God the glory, I need to stay out of it. And some people are more comfortable than me. Maybe they can figure out how to do that. But until I figure out how to do it, I'm going to stay out of it. And I'm not saying you stay out of it, because there's good segues that you can bring Christ in.
Oh, absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you have to have, you have to be skilled enough in the Word that God can get the glory out of life when these opportunities and these segues and these door utterances open up. Because if you jump in there like I did yesterday, you'll start talking off the top of your head and out of emotions and out of experience and out of your past, and God won't be getting the glory.
Somebody will tell you, spare the rod and spoil the child.
Now see how you...
Somebody got to work with a rod.
You see, I mean, there's so many different dynamics and variables too. But there's a way you can bring that in for sure. And I thought about it after it hit me like a ton of bricks. That's why I'm like, I jumped in too soon. It was just a little casual conversation. But we checking everything we say.
Right.
I know I am. That spirit just convicts you as soon as you leave. Oh, boy. Can I retract that?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But there's emotion.
Yeah.
And that's how quick, you know, especially in the United States, we quick to go respect, we quick to go on emotion. Because something, that's why I don't never say what you won't do, because one thing might trigger you, and before you know it, you'll fly off the handle.
Right. Especially like me going through menopause. So I blame everything on menopause.
Amen. See, and what I'm saying, this is just where I just used a very smart. I plan on, you know, one day we might even do a whole second of teaching on it because it really shows how to have relations in this world with each other. But there's different symbols I can put up here. Different flags I can put up here that'll spark emotions in you. You know, there's just a whole lot of different things that over the years have developed in this old man that you are, that you still aren't dealing with issues the way that you should be dealing with them. And we want God to get the joy out of all of our lives. Go ahead, brother, and we'll close out with you.
When I deal with it, because I'm trying to learn